to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we're very happy to welcome David Perkins. And I do hope that having broken the ice with us here, breaking bread with me here in the Paracast, you're going to come back.
I love it.
I'm glad to hear that because I love having you on. You're a fun guy to talk to, and we're going to really make this one of the best episodes of the show ever. Okay, so we're seeing here that the technology is one step beyond us. The other theory is that cultists are involved. What's the status of that, and what's the authority for it?
I would say the status is fairly low. Chris, I think, tends to give a little more credence to some of these other theories than I do. But the more I'm into this, the more I think that is a real dead end. And there may have been, in the past, some cult involvement with some form of animal sacrifice, mutilation, whatever, that got law enforcement pretty excited there for a while. But there again, there were no arrests, there were no charges, there were no convictions. It was all rumor, rumor, rumor. And everything seemed to, you know, glom onto the mutilation phenomenon for its own purposes. Chris talks about this in his book really well. It's just, it's so fascinating culturally how this happened. And he unravels it just beautifully. But in terms of the cultist angle, what I was going to say a minute ago about the theories was that it's this elaborate system of red herrings. Who or whatever is behind the mutilation seems to have incredible insight into human psychology in terms of how to keep mutilations bubbling along and have the theories bouncing off of each other and providing, say, an occult site somewhere near a cattle mutilation, and then everybody gets all excited about that for a while. Or, you know, something is planted that just leads everybody in the other direction for quite a while. And then one factor that we haven't discussed is the so-called giggle factor, which is, you know, whoever's behind the mutilations, like I say, has a really good, you know, concept of what human psychology and belief systems are. For instance, the large hairy creatures, the Bigfoot creatures that appear sometimes in the cattle mutilation scenarios, all you have to do is mention Bigfoot in your description of cattle mutilations, like Newsweek did back in 1974. You put that in the first sentence of your article. Well, farmers are reporting cattle mutilations, and some even saw UFOs, and some saw large hairy creatures running around.
So basically, this is nonsense, this is nonsense, therefore this is nonsense.
Right, exactly. So it's quite, whether it's by coincidence or design, I tend to think it's by design, because it's just so perfectly done that once you introduce that giggle factor, the public reads that and says, oh dear, this is nonsense. It's all nonsense. And that giggle factor, you know, goes on into almost all paranormal phenomena, the UFOs in particular. Some of the more outrageous and high strange cases seem perfectly designed to promote that giggle factor, which will then back off the scientific community that may have had some interest in pursuing it. Once they see that giggle factor in there, they're out of it.
Let me ask you briefly about another theory, which is that a rival rancher is at work here. They want to put out a competing business, and they're resorting to dirty tricks. Any possibility of that?
In a word, no.
Well, I disagree. This is where David and I disagree.
Okay.
Taylor Ranch cases in the San Luis Valley, I think, are very, very suggestive of a large, very wealthy rancher trying to drive neighboring ranches out of business, with dozens and dozens of cases being perpetrated and helicopters seen taking off and landing at the rich rancher's property, helicopters that were thought by law enforcement in the surrounding ranching community to be directly involved with the mutilations. One fact that I uncovered during my research is very interesting, that 80% of the small ranching operations that were in business in 1975, at the height of the mutilation craze, if you want to call it, are out of business now. And in their place are these huge industrialized feedlots that now process up to 400 animals, head of cattle an hour. So I wouldn't totally discount a political, societal manipulation
or, you're right,
the intimidation angle, I wouldn't factor it completely out, because there is a tantalizing body of evidence.
But however, if you back off and look at the entirety of the mutilation phenomenon worldwide, it just thousands of cases, thousands. It seems like what you're describing is true in these specific instances, and you can find on the periphery of this phenomenon just about any scenario you want. But whether that's actually at the heart of what is behind the cattle mutilations, I just don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that. And you cannot use that particular, you know, scenario to describe the 1606 wave of sheep mutilations around London, hundreds
right.
of hundreds of sheep. But I think, as I've always said, and I think you've agreed to a certain extent over the years, that it appears to be multiple groups that are piggybacking their agenda on other agendas, which they may or may not be, you know, totally aware of, you know, what the actual motivation is for the other agendas. But it seems like we're seeing a layering of misidentified scavenger action, which is many cases, I think, are just mistakenly referred to as cattle mutilations when they're in truth not. And it does bolster the debunker skeptical view that all these cases are misidentified scavenger action. It gives them at least some ammunition to work with. But when you see cut hair follicles, when you see unborn fetuses mutilated, and some of the high strange cases that feature ketamine, even I think in one case we had mescaline was found in the post-mortem analysis of a mutilated cow, barbiturates, anticoagulants, hundreds of helicopter sightings. These slam dunk any sort of one-size-fits-all debunker theory and explanation. So
true.
I think David would agree that we're looking at layering.
So multiple explanations may be involved here, but of course, a lot of people who cover stuff like this are looking for one answer. There's got to be one answer to explain everything. Once they seize upon that one answer, it doesn't matter that there is evidence showing something else.
That's very true. And as I said just a while ago, though, I think you have to kind of clear aside what you're going to have to determine are peripheral issues, like the cultists, perhaps, like running small ranchers out of business, and look at the body of material that the mutilations make up. And I think Chris does such a great job in, you know, the heart of the book, page after page after page of case studies. It's just overwhelming to me when I hadn't actually ever seen that all put together in one place. And once you see that and you realize, for instance, you factor in something like Argentina, which, what was the number, 3,000?
Well, yeah, that was an estimate, but we really don't know because it's obvious a lot of cases weren't reported. But, you must also have the caveat here that right as foot and mouth disease, an amazing outbreak that was devastating to ranching in South America, right at the end of a wave of foot and mouth disease, and they thought they had finally eradicated it, boom, that's when you had the start of the wave of mutilations in Argentina and Brazil and then peripheral cases nearby, Uruguay and other South American countries. So there's always this kind of – the phenomenon gives itself an out, and it shoots off into various directions. In the North American cases in the 70s, you had a lot of mystery helicopter sightings. You could almost say in the waves in South America from 2002 to the present day, actually, but for those first 3 years, 2002 through 2005, you have the substitute for the mystery helicopter with UFO reports. So depending on where these waves occur, you tend to see similar descriptions that are unique for that particular area in that wave, in the case of South America UFOs, in the case of the Midwest in the 70s, mystery helicopters, and, of course, some UFO reports, mystery lights, that sort of thing. So whatever happens, wherever it happens, there's always a tantalizing body of evidence that shoots you off in a particular direction and gets you, you know, caught up in trying to prove or disprove that particular element.
We have more to come with David Perkins and Gene and Chris. So much more, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at alkavision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. That's alkavision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new alkavision.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, we're not giving free glasses of milk with this. You know, I just want to tell you something, Chris. In helping you put together the book, doing the desktop publishing and everything, Stalking the Herd, when I read the sections on the way we deal with meat production, I wanted to become a vegetarian real fast. Then I had a hamburger.
Careful, Gene. We don't want the one of the largest political lobbies in the country to be listening to the show and slap you with an Oprah suit.
Well, they won't even advertise. You know, they can always have counter-programming. Say, look, you know, beef, it's what's for dinner. We're going to advertise on the show to express our point of view.
Yeah, yeah. And we can't get Robert Mitchum to do the tagline anymore because he's long gone.
Well, yeah, this is a paranormal radio show. Let's just call him back. I was thinking last week when we had Fate Magazine and Phyllis Galdi, the publisher, was talking about this medium she knows, maybe we could call up Steve Jobs and see what he thinks of Apple since he died.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be a fruitful avenue to go down. I have had people remote view some scenarios that I investigated in the San Luis Valley, and was always, it was amusing to see the kinds of results that they would come up with. But, I think what really should come through loud and clear to the listeners out there is that this is not a simple cut and dried scenario. It is incredibly complicated, incredibly nuanced. You really have to really have a full grasp of the enormity of these thousands and thousands of cases that have been reported for decades. And it's only when you really have a sense of the full totality of this mystery do you really appreciate how mysterious it really is. And I think David would agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me ask you something here. It's perceived also that cattle mutilations kind of peaked in the 70s and 80s and thereabouts. Do we still hear about them in fairly large numbers?
Yeah, well, I'll let David take that. Yeah, definitely.
Not large numbers, though, I wouldn't say. But
South America aside, in the early 2000s, I mean, there were numbers of cases down there.
In terms of the United States, it's one here, one there, one over in Montana, one over in Kansas. It's not like waves like where counties in Colorado in the 70s were having 90 in one year. Those days are not here. But there's still just a few out there, just enough to make you think that whatever it is still going on in this country, especially now apparently in South America.
Well, in the 90s, too, we did see quite an upsurge of cases, or maybe it was just an upsurge in efforts by people like myself and you. We did uncover quite a number of cases between 92 and 96. That four-year period had dozens and dozens of cases, many that I had personally investigated, several that you actually went on. David and I always have our eyes open for potential reports. We have a network of sources out there that for years has been feeding us, you know, potential cases. Linda Howe has done a good job of monitoring the ranch lands here in the United States and in South America. Scott Corrales down at the Journal of Institute of Hispanic, what's it called, Explicata, I think his publication is, many reports and stories as recent as, you know, we had a number of mutilated cattle that washed ashore in Sweden and Denmark just a couple of months ago, which may or may not have had a mundane sort of prosaic explanation. But we were not seeing the numbers that we saw in the 70s here in the United States. I think I was looking for our record on a single night. I think it was six different states, I think, David, that reported cases in a single 24-hour period at one point. There was a major upsurge in 79 of cases that actually rated an entire chapter in the book. I had no idea that 79 was such a major flap year for the mutilation phenomenon.
Let me ask you a fast question here, Chris. I'd like to hear some of our listener responses in a moment. And that is, you mentioned earlier about cattle mutilations occurring in or around nuclear facilities.
Yeah, let me run with that one.
Sure, David.
Chris brought that up before the last break, and that was a theory that I came up with in the late 70s, which I just went over all that material last night, and I'm still pretty amazed by it when I see it all again. Basically, the idea was that what the parts missing on the cattle were consistent with what one would take to analyze the extent of nuclear contamination in a living entity. People would say, you know, in those days, well, if the government wants to experiment on cows, why don't they just have their own herd over there in Kansas somewhere and experiment all they want? But obviously the idea is that the cows were important where they are in the environment, it seemed to me. And if you, I put together this big map back then with all these little pins in it, you know, and marked every single mutilation and every single uranium processing, milling, nuclear weapons, testing, anything having to do with the nuclear cycle. And I looked at that, put it all together just because I need visual aid sometimes to look at these things. And I thought, well, this is really interesting, but there sure are a lot of coincidences here about where these mutilations happen and these nuclear sites. I was particularly intrigued by the upper Midwest, where the nuclear plants were just coming online in the late 60s and early 70s. In particular, Minnesota, Illinois, these plants would come online, say, in 1970 and the same year or weeks later after it came online, there'd be a cattle mutilation downwind and downstream.
Is there a percentage of cattle mutilations that occur near such facilities that you can compare with the number that occur elsewhere? In other words, is it a very high proportion?
I would say it is. Looking at the map, when you can really see it all spread out into Canada, for instance, and then information that came to me later about where, say, the nuclear test in Nevada, where all that radiation ended up, I was amazed that so much of it blew north into Canada, into Alberta and Saskatchewan, which have been, you know, terrific cattle mutilation hotspots. And the anomaly that's presented there that Chris and I have discussed quite a bit, we're always after the anomaly within the anomaly because that's fruitful. But if you look at the map, there are very few, relatively, mutilation cases upwind from the Nevada test site. For instance, California is virtually untouched. Oregon, Washington, very few. Arizona, very few. The prevailing winds didn't generally sweep over Arizona. But if you look at the map of where the radiation ended up across the United States and into Canada, those were the highest concentrations of mutilations. So it's still an anomaly that I can't quite figure out how to explain any other way. Why California, for instance, is relatively unscathed. There are a couple there actually that were in proximity to their nuclear power plants, but and same for Oregon and Washington.
Let's break it here. David Perkins joins Gene and Chris. We're talking about cattle mutilations and more. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
One in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Reason, David, I asked about the incidence of cattle mutilations near nuclear facilities was because of the book UFOs and Nukes by Robert Hastings.
Right.
Where you have a high percentage of UFO cases in and around nuclear installations.
Yes, it's been a theme from the very beginning, the correlation between UFOs and nukes. And then that was part of my knowing that at the time. That was part of my logic for, well, let's see if this continues on into the mutilation phenomenon, which to my mind, it did to a great extent.
David, there were 84 cases within the missile fields surrounding Malmstrom Air Force Base and the surrounding bases that kind of supported the extensive missile fields there were Nebraska, Colorado, and Montana come together there in Wyoming. You know, I asked this when we had Robert Hastings on the show, and he said there were at least 50. And then doing further research, I found out there were as many as 80 that were within the actual missile fields.
Ooh.
Boy, that was a showstopper.
You know what? It's hard. It sounds like David's the kind of person who's really hard to say something where he'll be stopped in his tracks.
No, I'm not stopped.
Okay.
There are kind of two different things going on here with that nuclear connection. One is what I just described as the environmental monitoring. To get off another direction briefly, it was a theory that I was proposing in the 70s. It got a fair amount of press coverage. You had Greg Valdez on the other day, and I was in close contact with his father, Gabe Valdez, in those days. I was feeding him all of that information about the nuclear connection. The last time I ever talked to Gabe, he had called me up to get some documents that I had on, actually, Malmstrom Air Force Base. And he was working for NIDS. And I asked him before we hung up, I said, well, what can you tell me about your work with NIDS? And he said, well, I can't really tell you much, but I'll tell you one thing, Dave. You were right about a lot of that stuff. And I went, what stuff?
Yeah.
And I presume he was talking about the nuclear connection.
Right.
Yeah, that's all he would say. And that's the last time I ever talked to him. But as Greg said in his interview the other day, that NIDS, I guess, and Gabe in particular, came to the conclusion that it was environmental nuclear monitoring from the gas buggy site near Dulce, and that eventually it switched over to, the Red River, New Mexico area, where there was a slight different technique, and he claimed that was because they were, at that point, it switched to testing microwave-type weapons. So that nuclear thing still exists in that mythology. But what Chris is talking about, Malmstrom and nuclear facilities of that nature, to me, that doesn't seem like an environmental monitoring issue in terms of penetrating nuclear.
Yeah, that's intimidation tactics.
That is intimidation, and that is... And it carries over into so many places. Again, I was looking at this last night. Almost every missile field in the United States is just riddled with cattle mutilation activity and or helicopters, UFOs, and so on. And to me, that is some sort of symbolic communication. It's like, hey, forget it. Your weapons are nonsense. You know, we can fly around and do anything we want. You can chase us. You'll never catch us. It's a statement of how impotent our defenses and our weaponry really are. So there are two different things happening there. I don't think they're exactly monitoring the environment around these
right.
sites.
Well, that also bolsters Linda and other ET adherents in terms of their theory that this is all ETs just running roughshod over any semblance of command and control that we have over our airspace. And like you said, rendering any thoughts of being able to defend ourselves with nuclear weapons as you know, ridiculous. And,
right.
And that does make some sense. But, you know, you have, you know, the Dulce cases, for instance. You mentioned Project Gas Buggy. For those of you out there who are not aware of what that was, it was the first of, I think, a schedule of four underground nuclear detonations that were the first real attempt under the auspices of Operation Plowshare to use nuclear weapons in a civilian capacity. And along with the El Paso Gas Company and one of our national labs, they detonated a 29-megaton nuclear device 4,000 feet down, just 20 miles, I think, southwest of Dulce to free up a gas deposit. And what did they do? They ended up irradiating all the gas, which they couldn't use, and compromised the water table. And now we have these highly elevated levels of environmental cancers that are springing up around the Hickory Apache Reservation that surrounds Dulce. So, you know, you have, on one hand, you have this indication that possibly the cases that Gabe Valdez was very, very closely involved with in the 70s into the 80s on the Gomez Ranch could possibly be an environmental monitoring process. But at the same time, Gabe, and as we found out with our interview with Greg, Gabe also suspected that there was some sort of other exotic aerial technology that possibly the government was using to help perpetrate some of these cases. And so all this stuff is like a tightly wound sort of Gordian knot that, you know, I don't know how many times we can say how confusing and just confounding this whole thing is, but you really have to slowly try to unravel these particular threads of the knot, and that's why, you know, I chose that that subtitle of Unraveling the Cattle Mutilation Mystery, because you really do have to be intellectually honest and really take each one of these threads and see how they coexist, how they may bounce off of one another, and how they may be connected or disconnected from one another.
Just to bring our listeners up to date, we had Greg Valdez as a guest on the PowerCast August 4th, 2013. So if you want to download the episode, it's still there, just to let you know. And a little bit later, by the way, we'll start getting into some of your questions from forum.thepowercast.com. I think a lot of them have been answered just by the nature of our conversation, right,
right.
Chris?
Yeah, that's true. But there's some good ones that I think we should kind of bounce off David here.
Okay.
If you want, I can go ahead and start in. Do we have time?
we have time to start.
Okay. Here's a good one from Burnt State, who's one of our real active posters at forum.theparacast.com. And he always comes up with interesting questions, and I thank you again for posting these. Here's a good one for you, David. Attending mutilated cow bodies over the years has to take a toll on researchers. Towards the end of the book, you expressed some personal disgust or at least disturbance on continuing to investigate mutilations, and that's kind of pointed at me. What has been the psychological toll of this investigation over the course of your lifetimes, and I would add the lifetimes of other researchers? Let's talk about some of the pivotal figures in the field from the 70s, Tom Adams, Gary Massey, later on Ted Oliphant. How does this affect an investigator's psyche, David, do you think?
Boy, that's a great question. Wow. First of all, I don't put too much credence in the chemical poisoning from being around the mutilations. I was around a lot of them, maybe 50 or so, I don't know. I didn't really have any ill effects from that. We have a few well-known cases where people did have gotten sick. But that has not been the case with me, and it's never been a big fear for some reason. It's probably stupidity. But
we didn't.
You should be wearing a hazmat suit at all times when you approach these things, I guess. But that part, I don't put too much credence in about the physical smells and chemicals and whatever involved. I just intuitively don't feel that's threatening to me.
We'll have a lot more to say. And a lot more to present with David Perkins, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have David Perkins. We're talking about that book, Stalking the Herd, where we're unraveling all the ins, outs, complexities about the cattle mutilation mystery. It's got a kind of an introduction there from David Perkins, who helped a lot with the research.
Yeah. David was talking about the physical, the potential for physical problems, but right. I think Bernd State is more interested in how this really affects investigators psychologically.
That's what I said was the great question part of it, really. And very kind of subjective and hard to figure, but I guess you could tally it by the number of people that have been in this field and dropped out, and just are gone forever. It's destabilizing in some ways. It's very frustrating. You have to have a pretty level, calm demeanor and approach to this stuff. You can't get too excitable. It's like golf. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. You know. You just straight ahead, but sometimes you consider the implications of what you're dealing with, and it's just overwhelming. It's just, oh my goodness, this cannot be happening. This is so threatening to me and to society. And you go down that road, and you realize, well, that's not going to be too fruitful. So you have to find some happy balance. And I think Chris and I, with humor, have managed to somehow stay afloat. I mean, it's the one thing that really saves the day is seeing the humor and irony in these situations. And we have a field day with it, you know, and I think it keeps things light, keeps things easy. And it's a lot of people, you know, it's as serious as a heart attack to them. They just completely short out with this information once they immerse themselves in it. And then they implode, or their head explodes or something. I don't know.
I've heard some theories that make my head explode.
Right. We've seen some spectacular wipeouts all the way to suicide, you know?
Yeah.
So it can take its toll. So therefore, what I do, I sometimes just don't approach the subject for a while, let the field lie fallow. It's too wound up in it, and I'll go do something else completely different, try to change the subject, come back to it with a fresh state of mind, keep going. It would be so much easier, I swear, if this had never entered my life. It's exciting and threatening and draining, and it's everything at once. But if you know, if you think, as Chris and I do, that the implications here are so profound that it's very, very hard to let it go. We've sort of reached the point of no return. It's like, we've got to see it through.
No.
Do you really think, guys, that we're going to see it through? That's going to have a final explanation in our lifetimes.
Well, I lost a bet in 1993. I bet a case of beer to Gary Massey that someone would be at least convicted or charged with cattle mutilation before the end of the century. And 7 years later, I went down to David's house in December of 99. Gary Massey and Tom Adams were there. I had the bet with Gary. I somehow managed to find a case of Texas beer in Colorado, some Lone Star, paid off my bet. And that was the last time I ever saw Gary or Tom. Tom disappeared, look, dropped off the map. No one, his closest friends have never heard from him. It's been, what, 14, 15 years. Gary killed himself a number of years ago. There are some people, Ted Oliphant, who we had on the show, one of my first shows I did on the Paracast. We had a mutilation roundtable. Ted Oliphant, shortly after, said, don't ever call me with any questions about the mutilations. I am out of it. I don't want to talk about it. Don't bother me with it. Peter Jordan. I could just go down the list. There's quite a number of people that have, I guess you could call them, you know, casualties, that have totally distanced themselves from the subject and will not speak publicly about it. And I think David brought up a really good point that you really need to be even keeled. You need to have a sense of irony. You need to look at the you know, the ridiculousness of some of these scenarios and some of these theories. And you always have to look at it in a light sort of humor sort of way, or you will implode. Your head will explode.
Ouch.
So I might disappear one day. I know there are some of our listeners who are just hoping and praying for that.
No.
Well, that's a good lead-in to the following question. This one comes again from Bern State, and David and I are planning to co-write an analysis of Stalking the Herd. The working title is Stalking the Stalkers, for lack of a better one. But Bern State asked,
you don't like After the Herd?
Yeah, or like I said, I heard it through the cow pie. I, you know, whatever. We haven't decided, you know, completely on a title yet, but... Bern State says, in the follow-up book, what specific threads of ideas will you be pursuing in terms of Stalking the Stalkers, and how will you go about developing a line of inquiry that moves past investigating dead cow bodies over and over again?
Okay. Well, I think the way Chris and I have discussed it, he had a lot of material that he didn't get into this book, which I think you called Other Voices, or what did you call it? It was people that had firsthand investigative knowledge about
theories and opinions, basically.
Yeah, to hear from those people would be good to get into this new book. And then my idea of it was basically to take each of the major theories and give its strong points, and then give its weak points, and keep moving along, maybe from the easiest ones to the hardest ones, you know, and really taking each theory and pulling up the evidence that's been used to support that particular theory, viewing that from all angles, and then calmly tearing it down, which I think we could do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we arrive at some point where there's a process of elimination, which we don't know what that omega point is at this time, but that'll be the exciting part, to get to that place.
It's more
analyzing the theories than presenting the data, as Chris did in this book, which was basically chronicling the whole phenomenon in as great a detail as possible, but without going into like a lot of the scientific aspects that we came up with toward the end of working on Chris's book, the recent one. We had to leave out. They were just too undeveloped and ill-formed at that point, but we'd like to go back and revisit some of those things and just give a very careful analysis of each of the theories, and then see what we end up with.
Yeah. Here's a question in a similar vein from Sue, who's not a very often poster at forum.theparacast.com, but she has a question that's pretty interesting. What would it take for the kind of work that you and Chris have done to be built upon by successive generations of researchers rather than be forgotten and maybe later reinvented?
What was John Keel's quote? Something like, all of this won't matter much in 100 years. Doesn't matter much now.
Okay. Here's another one from Sue.
No. It does matter now. It does. You know, the idea of legacy, I guess that's a little hard to take that one on at the moment. However, when you put this much work into it, as much as Chris and I have, you would really like to see the work continue if on the off chance we don't solve it in our lifetime. And I think it will continue because these issues are always going to be with us. In my mind, the mutilations, it's hard to avoid not putting them in the paranormal realm. They just are in my book.
Yeah.
Along with all their attendant phenomena and UFOs. What's the likelihood? We can't explain a cattle mutilation by a UFO. You can't explain one unknown with another unknown. That just doesn't work. So there are always going to be aspects of this mystery that carry over, unless somebody comes forward and confesses to doing the cattle mutilations in our lifetime, which seems highly unlikely. I think the work will carry on. People that listen to this program and serious researchers, which you people have on here, really very, very talented, good minds, supple, agile brains, working on this all the time. It will continue forever.
Wow. Oh, man. All of a sudden, I got incredibly depressed. Well, one thing I would like to add is it's the quality of inquiry. I think, unfortunately, and David and I have talked about this at length, people get involved in the paranormal and in these types of mystery subjects, and they tend to develop blinders. They get tunnel vision. They tend to over-focus on a particular, quality of phenomenon some sort of, focused attention on a particular mystery. And I think what David and I have really attempted to do, I think just naturally as people, but also we've developed a capacity to always have our eyes open for attendant, what seem to be unrelated at times, phenomenal events that may somehow be indicative of something larger going on. For instance,
David Perkins with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.